Well, I would have been just fine sitting over there and having Elvin preach again, but this morning, before I get started too much, I want to have the children come up. And Andrew, if you want to bring that table up here, we'll do a little something with the children. But my first... kind of first little illustration this morning is if you were offered a drink, which one would you rather have? This is my drink of choice here. But so many times we want the big one, we want the giant one. You can just set it right there in front. And today I'm going to talk about maybe giants that people have faced in their lives and... people that went through trials and struggles and faced giants. So this is just one illustration of, you know, when we ask for things, you know, if you ask somebody if they want to hit a baseball, you bring out a big baseball bat for a major league player and you hit a home run. Or you want this little one, try hitting the ball with that, you know. When it's good things, we want the giant size. When it's bad things, we just soon have just a little bit of struggles. So that's just a little bit of what I have this morning. If I could have the kids come forward, maybe sit on the benches. All right, we're going to talk a little bit today about a man that I bet most of you know the story of. And I know Bodie does because it's his favorite story. Who is a man that faced a giant? David? What was the giant's name? Goliath. Was it Goliath? All right, what did he do? How big was Goliath? He was almost 10 foot. How big is Jeremy? Jeremy, how big are you? 6'7"? 6'7". That giant was 3 foot taller than Jeremy is. So who's 3 foot tall? Maybe TJ is 3 foot tall. So if you put TJ on top of Jeremy's head, that's about how tall the giant was. So Jeremy looks pretty big even to me. But you add another 3 foot to him and he looks huge. He wouldn't even get through, he'd have to about crawl to get through that door over there. So, today we're going to talk about giants and how did David know that he could beat the giant? Did he know that he was going to beat the giant? Yeah, he thought God would help him. What did he say? Should we read what he said? Let's read what he said. 1 Samuel 17, and we're going to go to verse 37, and this is when he was talking to the king Saul. He said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." So he knew he had already fought a bear and a lion when they had come and got his lambs. He had already fought them and he had already took the lamb and killed him. So he knew that God could protect him if he wanted to. So, this morning, I want to read another verse to you, and it's out of Isaiah, and it's Isaiah 43, verse 2, and it says, "When I pass through the waters, I will be with you, and when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze." And then part of verse 3 says, "For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." Now, David didn't have that verse, but we have that verse to tell us. It says, "When I pass through the waters, I will be with you." And I have a little bit of illustration here this morning. And the first thing I have is I have some sand. This looks like pretty ordinary sand, doesn't it? ordinary sand. Yeah, comes out of the sandbox. And I have another one of sand. Same thing, right? Look the same?
Yeah.
Can you all see it over here? Look the same? Looks the same? What? Do you want to see it over here? Are you all behaving? No. Sit still, TJ. All right. Now, what does the verse say? When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Now, what happens when sand passes through water? It gets wet. What does it do? Does it kind of turn to mud? Does it? Well, let's see what it does. Let's see. Put some of this ordinary sand here in there. Woo! Kind of dusty. So we put some water in there. My giant size. Ooh. You know what? I think you're right. It turned to mud. See that? See the mud in there? That's some muddy water, isn't it? See that? You see the mud? Now we're going to take this one. Now what if this sand had the promise that God made when he says, I will be with you when I pass through the waters? What do you think is going to happen? Should we try it? Put a little sand in there. Put a little water. What happened? Why is the water not turning brown like the other one did?
There's not much sand.
There's not. Yeah, there is. Look at the sand in the bottom. See that? Can y'all see that? It's not turning muddy. What do you think will happen if we pour some of that water out? I'm just not making a mess here. What is going on? That sand isn't even wet. Well, look at it. It's dusty. What is going on? Do you think maybe it was protected by God? So that's one way God protects. He said he would protect when you go through the water. And what else does it say? When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. Who knows of a story of some three boys that went through a fire? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Did they get burned? Should we try some fire? Okay. What do you think about that rag? Does it looks pretty normal rag, doesn't it? We are paid up on fire insurance, by the way, I think so. Okay. So what do you think? If we put this rag in here, this water, and we can't get it out. Now, let's see if we can do this. You know what? I burned my finger this morning with this, so let's not burn anything today, okay? Now that rag is burning up. Look at that. Look at that thing burn. What does the Bible say? When you pass through the fires, you will not be burned? Is that rag burning? Why isn't the rag burning?
Because it was wet.
Because it was wet? Well, what's burning? Put it in the water. Well, But is the rag up? Oh, the rag is burning. No, the rag's not burning up, is it?
It's
smoking, maybe. But what does the Bible say? When you pass through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. That's what the Bible says. Now, I wouldn't recommend you go stand inside a fire. But God says He will protect you. And that's something that David knew too, is that he could trust God to protect him. See, it's not burning, is it? Oh. There it goes. I don't think you can even blow it out.
Can we try?
Nope, doesn't blow out. But the rag's not burned, is it? So, it's going to go out eventually. But that's just part of the promise that God has. And that's why some of these men that you read about in the Bible, they trusted in God and knew that God would protect them. And they were willing, even if God didn't protect them, to risk their life for God. Okay? So there it is. It went out. Look at there. See? It's not hot. See that? It's a little warm, but it's not hot. It's not burned, is it? Look at there. Not even singed. See that? See that? It's cool now. You see it? All right, so this morning I want y'all to remember that verse. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, for the flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. All right, you can go back to your parents now. Thank you. All right. See if I can find my notes here. As I started studying, the story of Daniel came to mind. I need some of this. Actually, the story of David came to mind, and how he was willing to. That water's a little fresh. This was fresh water, but it's not as fresh. Thank you. As I started looking at the life of David and this event where David faced Goliath. The verse that really stuck out to me was verse 37 there, where he said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion, the paw of the bear, will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine." And that word "delivered" really stuck out to me. And as I started looking through, I found several other instances where people were delivered or were rescued. And one of them is Numbers 13:26 through 33 is when the children of Israel, when they were sent, the 12 men were sent to spy out Canaan, and they came back. And so they came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. There they reported to them and to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account: "We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit." And they had this big thing of grapes where they had to have two men carry it to get through there. Said, "Here is its fruit." So this was great land. "But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw the descendants of Anak there. the Amalekites live in Negev. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and Amorites live in the hill country. And the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, "We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We cannot attack this people. They are stronger than we are." And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, "The land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are great size." And King James Version says they were giants. "We saw Nephilim there. The descendants of Anak come from Nephilim. We seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we look the same to them." And then verse 6 says, "Joshua son of Nun and Caleb son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had explored the land, tore their clothes and said to the entire Israelite assembly, 'The land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will swallow them up. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them.'" So yeah, while these people might have been bigger and stronger than what the Israelites were, Joshua and Caleb knew that the Lord was on their side. They had just been through all these battles where the Lord had done great things for them, and yet they were still focused on these giants. You know, they were still scared of them. And then after wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, Joshua was in charge now, and it said that he was met with by an angel. So then the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men." So the Lord delivered Jericho into their hands. So these great men that they were so scared of, the Lord had promised to deliver them into his hands. And then I thought about in Daniel, when the three Hebrew men went through the fire, and after they had went through the fire, King Nebuchadnezzar called them out. And Daniel 3, and read a little bit, I guess 16, verse 18 says, "But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king." Before that, he said he had, verse 17, "If we are thrown into a blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you had set up." So they were willing to die for what they had thought was right. And then we all know the story how they threw him into the furnace. And then when they came out, Nebuchadnezzar approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here." So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and the satraps, prefects, governors, and royal advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was the hair of their head singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command, and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God." So here again it says that they were rescued. God sent his angels and rescued them. And then my mind went to Daniel, the story of Daniel. Verses 16 to 22, and we all know the story of Daniel as well. No need to read all of it. But where he was thrown into the lion's den. And then the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, "May your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you." The king didn't want to throw him in. He was one of his great advisors. But yet he had been tricked into signing this order. And he said, "A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the rings of his nobles, so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. Then the king returned to his palace and spent the night without eating and without any entertainment being brought to him, and he could not sleep." So as long as the night was for Daniel, I'm sure it was long for the king as well. At the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions?" Daniel answered, "O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me, because I was found innocent in his sight, nor have I ever done any wrong before you, O king." So we see here again where he was rescued, where he was delivered. But then I want to look to Luke 22. And these men faced trials, they faced giants, faced pretty hard things, and were able to walk through these things. And yet the real hero comes when we look at Jesus' life, when he went to the cross. And he knew what he was facing. Maybe more than what these other men knew. And it says, Luke 22:39-44. It says, "Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, 'Pray that you will not fall into temptation.' He withdrew but a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed, 'Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done.' An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground." So we know that Christ anguished as he knew not only the cross that was coming, but the battles that were going to be coming afterwards as well, when he had to defeat Satan. And then Hebrews 2:14-15, and we know that he has defeated Satan, because it says, "Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death." So we know that even though it cost him his life, Christ was able to defeat Satan and death, the power of death. And looking back, you know, David was able to defeat Goliath, and it didn't cost him anything. And, you know, Joshua was able to defeat Jericho, and it didn't cost him anything, but it cost Christ his life, and he was willing to do it. And I have some more verses that, when you look at them, you know, we face things in life. All of us face things. You know, some people face cancer. It may be a giant in our life. Some people have to get up and preach, and that seems like a giant in their life. But yet, one thing that these people did is that, you know, they could have said, "Well, yeah, God can kill the..." David could have said, God can take care of the Philistine. You know, God can take care of Goliath. But yet he had to act on it. He had the faith that God could do it, but without action, faith is dead. Joshua could have said, "Well, yeah, you know, it's a big land, and God's taking care of us, and he's going to take care of them." But yet they went and marched around the city, you know, for 7 days. They went and marched. So it takes action on their part. And you know, the verse 1 Corinthians 10:13. Says, "No temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it." You know, God allows things to happen, you know, in our lives. We face things, and, you know, maybe looking back on it, you're like, "Man, I don't see how I made it through that. You know, I would have never thought I could make it through it." And yet, the next thing you face is bigger. You know, God doesn't give you the biggest thing that he has and say, "Here you go. You know, see if you can handle this." He kind of builds us up. And like David said, you know, first of all, he faced a lion and you know, and a bear. And he knew that God delivered him from that, so God could deliver him from the Philistine. And, you know, the Israelites, they walked through these, you know, as they journeyed to Canaan, you know, they had lots of experiences where God had proved himself faithful, so they knew they could trust on him. So sometimes God allows things to happen, you know, so... To us, I thought about it in Sunday school. You know, we talked about the refining fire. You know, God lets us go through fire so that we can become better people. We can become more like him. We can grow closer to him. So First Peter 4:12-13 says, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when His glory is revealed." It doesn't say just, you know, make it through it. It says rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ. We should be happy that we're being tried. And James 1, verse 2 through 4 says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must first finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." So it's through these things that we grow, and we become closer to God. We become more like Him. No one enjoys trials. No one likes being persecuted or likes, you know, having to stand up for Christ. But yet, it's needed. It's things that I was reminded, the other day I was working and I was listening to sports talk and someone called in and they were kind of blasting Clemson's coach, Dabo Sweeney. And they called him a liar about something, and I tell you what, you know, started a fire. There was people calling and texting the station. They were talking and they were defending their coach, you know. And yet, how many times do we kind of, when it comes to stand up for Christ, we kind of slink down, you know? But you know, if it's our coach, we can stand up for him or whatever it is. But so my challenge is, you know, to stand up for Christ. And I just want to read that verse again in Isaiah 43, verse 2, part of 3. It says, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." So my encouragement to you this week is as you go through the week, trials that come to mind, though they may seem like giants, God has a plan and God has a purpose for your life. And just be faithful to Him. And like I said, you know, David and these other men, they could have said, "Yeah, God can do it." Daniel could have said, "Yeah, God could protect me, but I'm going to go in my closet and pray." But yet he didn't. He kneeled down in the window and faced toward Jerusalem like he always did, knowing that God was able to protect him. And, you know, it seems like a small thing, you know, to us. Maybe we could, you know, hide from something like that. But yet, think of all the people that have heard the story of Daniel. And the story of Daniel and the lions, then, is a great story. And if he would have just went in the closet and prayed, we wouldn't have that story today. So, what is a story, what is a testimony that you have for your life that could be a great one, or it could be something that maybe no one ever hears about because we sat in our closet and prayed about it rather than, you know, standing up for Christ and living the life that we know we're supposed to live. This is all I have. Let's close in prayer. Dear God, I thank you for your word that we have. Thank you for the many lessons that we have of men who stood up and who trusted in you, relied on you for strength, and that you delivered them. Dear God, I thank you that most of all that you delivered us from Satan, even though it cost you your life. And you went to the cross and you defeated death for us. Dear God, I thank you for each person here today. Dear God, I pray that we would be able to go out and face the giants in our lives. Dear God, I pray that you would help us to draw strength from you. Know that you will deliver us and you will protect us. And that you will be with us as we go through life. Ask that you would go with us today, watch over us and protect us this week. In your name I pray. Amen. You're dismissed.